Thank you, Mr. West Tuttle. Okay, let's assemble ourselves and get ready for the study of the Word of God. If you'll open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Okay, first of all, does everyone have a handout? Anyone not have one? You don't have one? Jim? Yeah, right there. If you get her one there, I'd appreciate it. Good. Give her two. Well, Mark's got his. All right. Mark's got his. Mark doesn't need two. Maybe he does. Okay. We'll come to those notes later in the midst of our study. And so let's begin with the word of prayer. And the purpose of the prayer, of course, is to test yourself to see if you're trusting in the Spirit, who is the true teacher. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the wonderful opportunity that we have to assemble ourselves this morning in this free country to study your word as we're led by the Spirit. Father, we pray that all that we see and hear in this text, Father, is the truth and will settle into our souls and into our lives. Father, we pray these things now in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We finish verse 10, and now Paul continues to address the first issue of the Corinthian believers. Now, just to remind you, he has gone through 9 verses of all the wonderful things that God has done for them. Not one word about these believers, which is unlike with Thessalonica, Colossae, and Philippi, where he praises them for various aspects of their spiritual life, their faith, their love, their giving, and all these wonderful things. But with this group, there's not a nice thing to be said other than what God has done for them. And that's about the nicest thing he can say. Now, I want you to note in verse 11, right off, that Paul identifies the source of this information. There's no secrecy. None of this from an unidentified source. All this type of thing. He is right up front in dealing with this issue. For I have been informed concerning you, my brethren, by Chloe's people, that there are quarrels among you. And so let's take a look at it. For I have been informed. This introduces a very important principle of church policy. We're going to take a look at church policy in one aspect today. It's the aorist passive indicative of deloo, from delos. And this word means to manifest. Okay. We're going to have to ask ourselves a question right up front. Is Paul supporting gossip? This is very important to me. And I'm not patting myself on the back. I'm just saying I want us to understand. I've not seen any commentary, anybody approach it and take a look. Well, wait a minute. What's going on here? Now, Brian, did y'all get a handout? Okay. Is he supporting gossip? And believers telling on other believers. Is that what Paul is supporting here? And that's what we have to look at. And the answer is no. And this is brought out by this very word, where he says, I have been informed. The Greek word does not mean to give a report. If we deal with the Greek word, it's a difficult word to translate. Now, as Plummer states of this, was made only to evident, which is a very close translation of the Greek word, which was only too evident. Paul was unable to doubt this unwelcome news about these believers in Corinth. Here is one believer talking with a believer in authority, Paul, not going around talking to everyone else because they are concerned. They are concerned about what's going on in this local assembly. They love this assembly, and they're concerned about it. So this is not a direct report from one believer against other believers. They simply lay out some things going on in hopes that the one in authority can and will address the issue. For I have been informed concerning you, my brethren. Okay, even with this disappointing news, Paul still considers them joint heirs in Christ. Okay, so he still considers them. Lally, you want to pick up one of those handout sheets there. There you go. Okay, so he still considers them believers in Jesus Christ. Then it says, by Chloe's people. Well, first of all, the word Chloe means shoot, tender growth. And in the original manuscripts, you do not have Chloe's people. It does not say which are the household. All of those are in italics, which means they are not in the original. Now, these are probably some people that she led to the Lord with the gospel. This is not, they did not come to Paul through Chloe, but through their own self, they came to Paul to talk with him. Now, they sensed a divided or contentious thinking that has been expressed in speaking in the assembly. This isn't just stuff that they heard outside the assembly. I like the epistles to the church. James, he doesn't talk about what's going on outside the church. He doesn't talk about here. He says, right here in your assembly, you're messing up. You're showing privilege to somebody because they have money. And I see right up front, there's no love here. No love at all. There's no faith here. So, and the same thing is here. What was being talked about is what's going on in the assembly. It's easy to see. They could evolve into this, they could evolve into something very serious to the harmony of this assembly, to accomplishing its objective. They apparently love this assembly, and they care about it. They are legitimately concerned about the assembly. Things are going on in the assembly. So the motivation and in hopes that this disharmony could be addressed and eliminated, harmony reestablished, and the purpose of the assembly continued. That there are quarrels among you. Okay. And that will break a harmony. That will break a harmony. Quarrels among you. It can divide an entire assembly if there are fights and divisions and quarrels going on in the assembly. There exists present active indicative. It's going on right now. Then we have the word quarrels, strife, contentions, dissensions, causing trouble. And what we're going to see is it's over a non-essential. It's amazing what will divide a church. Now, we've already looked last week at the word schism, schisma, in the previous verse. Well, today we have a different word. We have the word eris, E-R-I-S. It's where we get the English word harass. We get the English word harass from this. And I love the origin of this word. This is from Greek mythology. There was a Greek goddess, Eris, E-R-I-S. Now, there's a banquet going on. And gods and goddesses, Greek mythology, are at this big banquet. She walks in with a simple one dime apple. Nice, shiny, one apple. And she says, this apple goes to the fairest of all the goddesses. Well, that all it took for a lousy apple. They started bickering. The women became jealous of each other. Who was going to get this apple? The gods became contentious against one another that their goddess was going to win. And, I mean, it just broke the whole thing. It was a wonderful banquet, apparently, going by the writings. And she just walked in and said, an apple for the fairest. Who cares? Going back to eating and enjoying your banquet. Nope. It broke everything. Well, I'm going to tell you something, people. We're going to see this local assembly is broken on just about the same thing. Who's the best teacher? And boy, it's going to break everybody. I think this one's a better team. I think this one. I think this one. So it's just the same. It's a perfect illustration of the word heiress. The perfect illustration of its origin, its meaning, and what's going on here. So heiress is a work of the flesh. Their mental attitude, sin, have been expressed by the way they talk in the assembly. Now the place to stop, a mental attitude sin is, guess where? In the mind. It's a mental sin. So it's very profound. You need to stop it in the mind. Get into the filling of the Spirit and thinking on how you might advance spiritual growth of the assembly. Now, before we look at that sheet, I'd like you to look at Galatians chapter 5 with me. Galatians chapter 5. And let's read together verses 19 and 20 of Galatians 5. By the way, this is a new church also, Galatia. One of the first churches. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outburst of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions. Look at it. Disputes, dissensions, factions. It's all going on in the church of Corinth. Envying, going on in the church of Corinth. Drunkenness, going on in the church of Corinth. Carousing, well, we'd have to go outside to find out if that was going on. And things like this, of which I forewarned you, just as I have forewarned you. Okay, what I want you to see here is, this is a list of things that happen in the flesh. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And let's read together verse 20. 2 Corinthians 12, 20. For I am not afraid that perhaps when I come, this is Paul speaking to the church of Corinth in his second letter, I may find you to be not what I wish, and may find you to be not what you wish, that perhaps there may be strife, jealousy, anger, tempers, disputes, slanders, gossip, arrogance, disturbances. Well, so much for Lordship salvation. So much for, you know, if you haven't made Him Lord, you're not saved. These are believers. He's calling believers. And look at all the things that are going on in this assembly. Jealousy, anger, tempers, disputes, slanders, gossip, arrogance, and disturbances. And one more passage, 1 Timothy. Let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 6. First Timothy chapter 6, let's read verses 3 and 4. Verse 3, if anyone advocates a different doctrine and does not agree with sound words, sound teaching, those of our Lord Jesus Christ, not mine, and with the doctrine conforming to godliness, he is conceited, understands nothing, but he has a morbid interest in controversial questions and disputes about words, out of which arise envy, strife, abusive language, evil suspicions. All this is going on in the church of Corinth. Now, what's so amazing or so interesting and sets up a warning for all of us? This is a brand new church. This is the first assembly in Corinth. And it's already having divisions. It's already quarreling with one another. It just started. The new assembly in Galatia, already moving from a gospel by which they were saved to a gospel of law by which to live. And now we have a problem here. Same thing going on here. Okay, look at your sheet. What you should do when you think there is a problem or problems brewing in the local church. Okay, now, people, this is our assembly. This is for us to discuss now. We're going to read it. If you have any comment about anything, let's talk about it right now. We're laying down the groundwork. So point one. Now, you think that there's a problem going on in the local assembly. It can be any kind of problem that you can imagine. One, don't wait until it implodes in the local church. Go into prayer. Be sure it is not some personal agenda of your own. It's the first thing you want to do. Just think this through. Am I really seeing something that could divide this assembly? Am I seeing something dangerous? Am I seeing something that could cause some trouble? Or is it just my own agenda, my own legalism, my own desires, my own this or that? I mean, churches are divided over things like a parking lot. I know this for a fact. Whether or not to asphalt a parking lot or concrete it or how big it should be and all of this. And just church went into unbelievable division. And so you have to ask yourself, is this really a real problem? Or is this just my own personal thing? I like asphalt. I like concrete. I like, something else, this type of thing. Okay, so you've gone through that. Now we'll come to point two, and then we'll open it up for discussion. Point two. It is not gossip or out of line to, under the leading of the Holy Spirit, you go to the pastor teacher, the one in authority, and relay to him your concern about something going on that may directly affect the assembly. This is true even if it concerns the pastor teacher himself. This will let him know that others are seeing things that he may not be seeing. Okay, let's just take point one, think through it, pray about it, understand yourself, understand what's going on. Point two, first thing you do is you go to the one in authority, the pastor teacher. Any problem or questions or anything you want to know about those first two? Because this is for us. Okay, point three. Then you leave it there with him and with God in prayer. If he does not address the issue and you think it is very important, under the leading of the Holy Spirit, you go to one or maybe two of the elders or senior members and express to them your concerns. Just talk with them. Any question about this? You told the pastor, he didn't do anything, so now you go to one or two senior members. Yes? Do we have a what? Not really. We need to get one. That's why I worded it an elder or senior member. No, that's a good question. That's a good question. That's a very good question. Okay, so you go to them now, and you talk with them. You talk it out with them. You tell them that you did talk to the pastor. You don't hide anything. You let them know your legitimate concern. Okay, now we come to point four. You do not go around talking with others in the assembly and cause trouble and divisions, which I hope is what you did not want to occur in the first place, is why you want to have this problem straightened out. So there won't be division. So that everybody can continue in their momentum and growth in the Word. Any problem over point four? Point five. Once you've gone to the pastor teacher, and then to one or two, or maybe two elders, and things are still not handled to your satisfaction, again, go into fervent prayer. Consider that perhaps you're the one out of line in your thinking. Just go back, meditate about it yourself. Any question about that? All right, point six. If you decide that you're not out of line, and if you are led by the Holy Spirit, you may go back to the pastor or to the elders a second time. Any question? Okay. And finally, point seven, if it is not addressed to your satisfaction, leave it with God or you quietly leave. Now, I want to talk about point seven. Why would I put on there, you quietly leave? Because people, let me tell you something. You sit in assembly and it's brewing in your soul. It's just brewing. You're looking. You're waiting for something to happen that you can cause trouble or get this taken care of, this type of thing. So if every time, I know there's a very, I don't know how popular, but a popular pastor teaches on the TV out of Atlanta, and I just love listening to him. But I found myself, I'm just critical. He gives you grace, and then he gives you law in the same message. And that's no way to listen. And I just quit listening. I don't want to do that. I don't want to listen to him sitting there. Boy, that's really good. That's good. I like that. And you go, man, look what you're doing. Nah, 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 nah. And that's not good. That's not healthy. To sit there and be his judge and evaluate. If I'm not being edified, what am I doing there? So I just politely quit listening to him. But I think someone could just sit down with him and show him the Spirit-filled life and grace that way. He'd see it. I think he's that close. My prayer, I do pray for him, that someone will see the truth and then just sit down with him and take him through it. But people, so point seven is kind of important. It's a little abrupt, I think, and almost rude. And leave it with God, or you quietly leave. Because, but I had to put it in there because if you're just sitting there and it's brewing, it's gonna cause trouble. And then point eight. Yes. All go to the back and everybody sit down. I like that. I like that. I like that, Jim. I like that a lot. Very good. Yes. 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 What I would hope I or the elders or somebody would do or the senior members is sit down and say, we're aware of that. I don't think it's an issue for the assembly. I don't think it's a disruptive for the assembly. And it's a personal matter. And let's leave it there. I'll give you a case in point. Many years ago, we had a couple that came every class, and that's when I used to teach five or six times a week, and they were living together, and they were not married. Almost everyone thought they were married, but one person knew they weren't. It came to me and said, we have some people living in sin in this case. And I sat down with them, and I said, I know that, and I'm hoping that the Word of God will convict them. It was not shortly thereafter. He came to me, and he was so cute about it. He just came with almost a smile. He said, going by your teaching, we've been living in sin. And I just smiled and said, yeah, you have. And he said, wow, well, we need to get married. And I said, yeah, that'd be a good idea. And they got married very quickly. It didn't cause any trouble in the assembly. It brought the Word of God and the Holy Spirit brought them to the truth. And now, had everyone known and all of that, then I would have gone to them personally. But only one person came to me that was disturbed about it. We talked about it. They joined me with me in prayer that the Holy Spirit would convict them. The Holy Spirit did, And it just worked out wonderfully. And so there are just things that it's wise, if something's troubling you in your soul, to come to the pastor, go to a senior member, talk to him. Maybe you're not seeing something that they're seeing. Maybe you're not aware of things, and maybe they're not. So you just talk and work it out. And Jim, I do like that. The elders and that person go to the senior pastor, maybe that second time, and we talk about it again. Okay? Then you reach the point. Anything else? Then you reach the point, under point 7, where if it is not addressed to your satisfaction, leave it with God, or you quietly leave. And the reason I say that, I know that doesn't sound very good, but there's just nothing to it. If you've gone to three different people and it's nobody's that, and you're going to cause trouble eventually just sitting there. So you might want to consider finding another assembly. Any question on that? Yes. Huh? Unless they left it with God. If you're able to leave it alone. If you're able to leave it alone and let God say, okay. And then let's say you say that and you're able to do that and you come and you fellowship and you continue to grow in the Word, all these things, and it really does explode. You can just sit there and go, I told y'all. See? That'll be okay. See? I told you. But chances are it's not going. But hopefully the pastor and those senior members will keep an eye on that subject. And then point 8. Remember that every local assembly is made up of people with sin natures, weaknesses, and various stages of spiritual growth. This is addressing the example I gave you of the couple that were living out of marriage together. There's weaknesses, various stages of spiritual growth, and who for the most part are striving to be a witness of and for Jesus Christ and grow in the Word of God. So you want to help, not harm, the assembly. Now, so I'm going to put this out there on the back. I'm going to revise it a little bit now, because I do like the idea of all three of those people going to the pastor, four of them, the two people and the member who has the problem, going to the pastor, and all four of them sit there and talk. Any questions or statements about it? Now, I thought about forgetting this altogether. Then I thought about passing it out to you, and I'll give it to you. I didn't know we'd have this many here. I sent this to John Hintz. I want to show you what can happen. So look at your paper and look at number 1. Don't wait until it implodes in the local church. Go to others and embellish the facts. Be sure it fits in with your own personal agenda. Point 2. It is not gossip. If it is true, and then you go to others and tell them so that they can pray more intelligently about your pastor. When you go to the pastor teacher and relay to him your concern about something going on that may directly affect the assembly, make sure you embellish whatever story you tell him. This is true even if it concerns the pastor teacher himself. This will let him know that others see things that he may not be seeing. And he had better learn to meet your expectations. Point 3. Then you leave it there with him, comma, with others in the church and outside the church, and with God in prayer. If he decides not to address the issue and you think it is very important, then call a congregational meeting to have him fired. Express your concerns to all who will listen. Point 4. You are to go around talking with others in the assembly, causing as much trouble as possible, and divisions, which is what you wanted to do in the first place. Might be the truth to that one. Point 5. Once you have gone to the pastor, teacher, and then to those who you now have on your side, and things are still not handled to your satisfaction, you should go into fervent prayer and make sure not only God, but everyone else knows what's going on. Point six. Since you are now not the one out of line, since you're not the one out of line, since you are led by the Holy Spirit, and the pastor and others who don't see his many flaws or not, you may go back and make more phone calls to solicit support to fire the pastor and the elders. Point seven. And finally, if it is not addressed to your satisfaction and you cannot get the pastor fired, you can choose to spread more lies about him and hope for better luck the next time. Or leave a church making as much stink as you can and take as many of those who see that your superior spirituality, take them along with you. Point eight. Remember, every local church is made up of people with sin natures, weaknesses, and various stages of spiritual growth. And all you have to do is to take note of them and document them whenever possible. Realize that in truth, only you and you alone are the only one spiritually filled, spirit-filled. And then it says, for the most part, are striving to be a witness for Christ, help not harm the assembly by getting as many people as possible to leave the church with you. So there's two different ways you can handle your problems. So, and again, are there any questions about what we did? Okay, yes. Almost anything that bothers you. It could if others started finding out about it and talking, and then it starts causing trouble in the assembly. Okay, that would certainly be a strong way. But it could just be just enough people talking while they're doing it and da-da-da and causing a lot of trouble about it. Yeah. And unless enough people are talking about it. And if enough people are talking about it, then... But it can be moral. It can be church organization, parking lot, outlets, church missions, finance, social, youth group. It can be anything. The teaching. You have a problem with the teaching, you go to the pastor. And you're not satisfied, you go to a couple of the senior members. So just anything that's troubling your soul, and you've gone into point one, gone into prayer, and you say, no, this could really cause some problems. So this is what's important. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. And that's why I said you go to the pastor and then you go to one or two seniors. And so you've talked to three different people in authority or in a position and try to get it resolved to the best that you can. And if it's going to get resolved. And, you know, people, let me just point out here. Let's talk about it from an aspect that's important to me. Let's say I start teaching something that is just not sound. It's just not based upon all that we've done. And you have trouble with it. Okay, you come, and this is true, da, 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 da. And you go, oh, no, we see it. Then, people, you really should leave. This would have stopped a lot of false teaching that's gone on today. If the people who have supported Lordship Salvation had from the very beginning, wait just a minute, sir. I thought it was by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone, because that's what you used to teach, that it was by grace alone in Christ alone, and why are you changing? And if he doesn't, he refuses to change, and then you go to a couple of senior members, and they, oh no, this is right, Lordship, salvation, then people, you want to leave. You want to get out of there. No. Yeah. Yeah. No. Well, at first, MacArthur taught the true gospel. He did at first, and then he changed. See? Yeah. So, he... Social gospel is another one. There you go. And you come and say, this is a... And if the pastor says, no, I'm right, and the senior members say, you want out of there. You want out. It's not a difficult decision to leave if you feel that way. I mean, one very important one here. I taught that you're filled with the Spirit by confession of sin from 74 to 84 and 84, about 15 years. And then I started making my shift to by faith alone in the Holy Spirit. And I had many people come, wait a minute, what are you doing? And they left. Now, many people stayed and caused a lot of trouble, and we had a major church split and all. But I'm just saying, I'm hoping that at least this will give us a guideline if you have a problem. What we want to do with it and about it. And it can be doctrine, it can be moral, it can be finance, it can be policy, it can be outreach, whatever is disturbing you. And see if we can get it taken care of. Okay? Well, I just thought this was a good time to include that. Now let's go to verse 12. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 12. Okay, here's the split. Here's what the eros is about. Now, I mean this, that each one of you is saying, now not each one of saying the same thing, but saying each group saying different things. I am a Paul, I am Apollos, I am a Cephas, I am Christ, I am of Christ. Now, I want to quickly point out one thing. They were dividing over these teachers, and people, they didn't even have tape ministry yet. They didn't have a publication ministry yet. They didn't have a radio program yet. Nothing. This happened right from the very beginning. And so this church is new. And remember, we look back, and what did God bless them with? These great teachers. See? This division, this eros, is not over some deep important doctrine, like the deity of Christ. Now that would have been a good one. Let's talk about that one. Let's talk about the deity of the Holy Spirit. The role of the Holy Spirit. The gospel. Things like that. Things that are truly issues. If you understand Paul's chastisement, we do away with right pastor, right church, all of that. They've had all of these great men. They're teaching the truth. And what have they done with these blessings that God gave them? Divided over them. Okay, let's take a quick look. I mean this. King James gives a better sense of what's going on here. The King James says, I keep on saying. Okay? I mean this. I keep on saying. Present active indicative of lego. This. Teaching. Teaching on harmony, the assembly. Now, I keep on saying, because you keep on saying, is what the Greek really says. I keep on saying this, because you keep on saying this. Now, look back at verse 10. Look back at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. Let me get there myself. Okay, chapter 1, verse 10. What do we have in verse 10? Now I exhort you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you all agree. There be no divisions among you. Say the same things. People, that sounds nice, but as we saw there, it's not always easy to do. The pastor-teacher cannot advance the assembly in the teaching of the Word of God when there are divisions, splits going on. When those believers who talk, they should be talking the same truths, the same judgments. But when this group in Corinth got together, they just talk division. Now, in our day and time, we have tapes, discs, books, radio, TV, And it's easy for believers to get caught up with one teacher over another. That's fine, people. I have no problem with that. As long as the teacher that you're liking is teaching the same truths that your pastor teacher is teaching in your local assembly. Because if they're teaching different things, it's eventually going to cause you turmoil, and you're going to cause turmoil. See what I'm saying? So we live in a difficult time because we have so vast access to so many different teachers, so many different things. But when the problem arises, when the one you really are liking and the one that you go to the pastor teacher, the church where you go, and they teach two different things on different issues. I'm talking about really issues. So I encourage others, Jim and sends out disc, and we have it on the internet. And I encourage, if you're listening to this teaching and you go to another local church, which I hope you are, don't make an issue out of me or what I'm teaching. Oh, I just want to share with others all the wonderful things I'm learning. I appreciate that. But do it in spiritual love. And spiritual love is sensitive. It's sensitive to others, to other pastors. Be sensitive. Be guided by spiritual love in these things. Not just by, oh, this is great, and I want everybody to know that. You may be causing a lot of trouble. You may be causing turmoil to a pastor. You may be causing turmoil to other people. And we could sit here, oh, well, let's judge. If that bothered the pastor, then he needs to straighten up. No, you're out of line. You're out of line. You can pray for him. Maybe share it with him personally. But you don't want to cause trouble. And I'm talking to even people that might be listening to our teaching here. And if you, I hope you are blessed by things that you hear, and we open up things in the Bible. But be careful if you go to a local church and start causing trouble. See, it wasn't Paul, Peter, or Apollos who was causing these troubles. It wasn't these men. It was the people in them. So this is very important. Now, that each one of you is saying. Some in the assembly are saying one thing. Some in the assembly are saying another. This assembly is divided. It's in really rough trouble. It's in a lot of trouble. Look at chapter 14. 1 Corinthians 14 for a moment. 1 Corinthians 14. Verse 26. What is the outcome then, brethren? When you assemble, each one has a psalm, has a teaching, has a revelation, has a tongue, has an interpretation. Let all be done to the edification. Not your edification, not your agenda, but for the edification of everyone. Alright, 1 Corinthians 1:12. The division over teachers. And they did not, and again, these teachers didn't even have tape ministries and all that going on. Didn't have all of that. But all this trouble is going on. The fault is not with any of these teachers. It's with the people. The arrogance of the Corinthians. Now you got to think about Corinth. Remember Corinth. We've dealt with this in the introduction. It's right near Athens. This whole area are very involved in high thinking. Philosophy. Philosophers. People came from all over the world to Athens, people, to hear Aristotle, Plato, Socrates. They love that stuff. They love just to sit there and argue and bicker over things and talk about it. No convictions, just like to argue about it. Well, this is part of what's going on in Corinth. They like to have their own teachers now. Some of that flesh nature has taken over inside of the church of Corinth. Now, according to verse 5, God has given them some really good Bible teachers. And what did they do with these blessings? They divided over them. Just like in 1 Thessalonians, Paul goes through and says, let me tell you people, encourage one another with these words, that one day the trumpet of the Lord will sound and we'll all be taken up, and those who are alive will, those who are dead will take up, and those who are alive will follow. All these words, that the rapture is a wonderful thing. And what have we done with it? What? Are you pre-rapture? Are you mid-trib? Are you post-trib? Are you all-trib? Look what we've done with it. comfort one another. What have we done with it? We've divided. We fight one another on a very beautiful teaching. So this is what we do with the blessings God has given. Okay. I am of Paul. Here's what they said. I am of Apollos. I am of Cephas. And I am of Christ. Okay. We have ego, men, aimi, palu. Ego de Apollo. Ego de Cephe. Ego de Christu. All right, let's take up some grammatical points. Point one. Ego means I. I is the first in the Greek, and it clues us in. Eyes on self. They think that they're special. They think their group is special. Now, we have men, M-E-N, men in the Greek. Men, one time. It's not even translated in most translations. It's I indeed. King James, NASV, NIV, leave it out altogether. People, this is an emphatic particle. It conveys arrogance, self-righteousness of these people. I indeed am of Paul. Well, I myself, I am of Apollos. Well, you can hear with it. That men is very important. It's not even translated. But it's I indeed, which is an idiom meaning me, special, this group. So that's a very important point I want you to be aware of in your text. It's not in the English text, but it's in the Greek. It carries the ideal of protest against one another. Point three. De, ego de Apollo, is a conjunction, is used to introduce the high spirit of competition. Say, I am of Apollos, or I am of Paul. And the high spirit of competition is revealed by repeating of it for emphasis. It's repeated for emphasis. The bickering that was going on, it does not need to be repeated. That day doesn't need to be repeated, but because Paul repeats it, he's showing this church is divided in these groups, special interest groups. It's going on in the assembly in Corinth, and it goes on in a lot of assemblies. And the ideal is, our group is better than your group. We who follow Paul are better than the rest of you. We who follow Apollos are better than the rest of you. We who follow Peter, we're better than y'all. Well, we follow Christ. We're of Christ. You can tell that group. That's the holier-than-thou legalistic. All right. Now, before we take a look at the four groups, overriding insight, let's take a look at something. What's going on with these groups? Just 2 points. One, I am of this following or that. I do not listen to this pastor. I don't need to. I don't need to listen to this pastor. I listen to so-and-so. I'm a Paul. Paul's not here. I don't care who's here teaching. I really don't have to listen to you. I just do my own thing right here in the assembly. So that's what the ideal is. Because I listen to them, I really don't have to listen to who's teaching now. And secondly, they're making a man the issue, not biblical truth. You see that? Ridiculous man. They don't listen to any truths. I would have loved it. Well, I think you're filled with the Spirit by grace. I think you're filled with the Spirit by confession. I think you're filled with the Spirit by listening to gospel music. I think you're filled with the Spirit by doing this and that. Now we've got something we can talk about. And make an issue out of man. All right, we got time to take a look. I am a Paul. Follower of Paul. Not the teaching of the man, the teaching, the doctrine, but I follow a man. All right, point one. Paul first disapproves of those who make him an issue and follow him by putting his name first. He wants to cut it right at the chase. Wants to cut it right at the chase. Point two, Paul was the founder of this assembly. He planted, as he says. He is an apostle. So he founded the assembly. He planted this assembly. He is an apostle. So it seems inevitable that he would have be highly respected and loved and followed by a lot of people personally. Must have nipped that. Point three. But what has happened was that those who first learned under Paul started a set, S-E-C-T, of followers of Paul. They had their eyes on man. How many denominations, movements, heresies do we have in the world today? People followed a man rather than this book. The whole Mormon thing is nothing more than an evil, heretical following of a man. And there's a lot under the Christian umbrella also. So what we have happening here, we have these this set that started following Paul. They have their eyes on a man, not on doctrine, on the design, not on the design and purpose of the local church, not on witnessing for Christ, not on all these things, but on a man. So what they should do, if they had listened to Paul in truth, really they're an insult to Paul because they're not listening to Paul. They say, "Boy, man, Apollos is saying what Paul said. Man, this is really great. I'm getting the same truth." And listen, Apollos or Peter or somebody, they've embellished it. They've added this and they've shown me that. This is really good. It's wonderful to have that camaraderie. Okay? Point four, in the final analysis, this showed they had their eyes on him and not on what was being taught. This was not a compliment to Paul. And it is not a compliment to any of these people. All right, let's take a look. I am of Apollos. One, Apollos was the first, their first pastor teacher. He watered. Paul planted, Apollos watered. He taught doctrine here. Point two, Apollos was apparently a very charismatic speaker. He was an articulate teacher. And so it was almost inevitable that some would want to follow him, especially when you remember that Peter spoke in a high-pitched voice, apparently, was not very attractive to look at, very short, very thin, very... Paul. Paul. Paul was a very, had a high-pitched, and in fact, he, later on he'll even talk about how people talk about the way he looked and the way he talked. And I... Jim Langston, bless his heart, he's tried and tried over the years to get me to listen to my own teaching on something because he wants me to hear how. And Jim, I don't want to hear me. I don't like to hear me. I don't like that voice. See? And so, people, we do like voices. Let's just admit it. We do. They're voices we like. I mean, you might, before you married, met some gal, boy, she's really nice and all that, but, wow, I cannot stand that voice. Wow. And just, you know, and then somebody else, you know, I really like her voice. Just like talking to her and hearing her talk. See, we're voice sensitive. And there are some speakers who are very charismatic, and their tone, I've often said, I wish I spoke like Richard Burton. Boy, I do, I just love the way he talks. The way he reads poems and the way he stuff. I got a couple of tapes of him reading poetry. And I just love it. So, but you can't let that, you got to listen to what they're saying. Yes? No, that's my point. We should not. Yes. Oh, I don't even know we agree. So, but he had a very charismatic Apollos, and he was apparently from the Egyptian school of thought, and he just was a very eloquent speaker, very knowledgeable, very philosophical, and in the way he presented things, and just very appealing to a group of people, especially in Corinth. Point three. This group kept on saying, "We don't need to listen to Paul. We follow Apollos." Point four. This is one of the great dangers in Christian movement. People are always prone to be attached to charismatic leaders, charismatic speakers. Whether they're teaching the truth or not, doesn't matter. This person's charismatic. I love them. They speak either very flowery the way I like or with authority that I like, and whatever it may be. If we got to get away from all of that, pay attention to what's being said. Point five. But there does not seem to be any difference in the message of Paul and the message of any of these men, by the way. Doesn't seem to be any difference in them. Six. What happened here is that a number of these Corinthian believers started following this man, Apollos. Paul left. Apollos came in. That's our man. And they just followed him. And he left, but they still wanted to stay with being a disciple of Apollos rather than of the truth. And finally, point seven. This presents the problem of authority split in this assembly. There is one authority in every local church. That's the pastor-teacher. You may respect the pastor-teacher's teaching, but not his authority. You may respect his authority, but not his teaching. Either of those is going to cause you trouble. See? You're a candidate to cause trouble in the doctrinal area or the personal area. These are the things we just got to realize. The way that God has set up the structure of the church. I'll just quickly take a look. I'm of Caiaphas. Now, who is this? Point one, Caiaphas is the name given to Simon Peter by our Lord. Caiaphas is the name given to Simon by our Lord. Let's open the Bibles to the Gospel of John chapter 1. Gospel of John chapter 1. John 1 verse 42. Look at all the names we have in this one verse. He, Andrew, that's Andrew, brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Caiaphas," which is translated Peter. We have six names in this one verse. First of all, Andrew, designated by the pronoun he. Andrew means strong, a strong man, manly, who rejoiced greatly that he had found the true Savior. Chapter 1, verse 41. We have Jesus, Savior, Deliverer, Simon, hearing, understanding, John, Jehovah is gracious or merciful, Caiaphas from the Chaldean, and it means something that's hard, an unyielding stone, and here's the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ, naming Peter. And what it really deals with is unyielding faith. And yet Peter is the one that's going to have trouble in a battle of faith. Then we have the word Peter. That means the Greek word, means hard, strong, or rock. Jesus Christ, upon meeting Simon, changed his name to Caiaphas or Peter. But both names mean basically the same thing, Caiaphas and Peter. One is Chaldean, the other is Koine Greek. Point two. While there is no record of Peter ever teaching in Corinth, he was a disciple of Christ, and of course there will be those who want to form a set and follow him, the Roman Catholic Church, making him the Pope, and the whole thing, that Peter was the first Pope and everything. It's just how we can get out of line when you concentrate on a man. You simply do not want to follow a man. Save Jesus Christ himself. As blessed as Paul and Peter were as writers of Scripture, and Paulus was teaching them the truth. Point three. By the way, Peter listened to a lot of Paul's teaching, and he even says, and say you can read this sometimes, 2 Peter 3:15-16. His teaching's pretty advanced. His teaching's kind of difficult for me sometimes. Peter just says that. Point three. It is most likely that this group, the Apollos group, were converted Jews. Excuse me, the Peter group were converted Jews. Peter to the Jews, Paul to the Gentiles. Remember? So these were probably, the followers of Caiaphas were probably followers, or were probably Jewish converts. And then four, Peter and Paul were apparently good friends. It was Peter who first welcomed Paul, while nearly everyone else was more frightened of him because he was killing Christians. He was killing those who believed in Jesus Christ. But it didn't bother Peter. Peter just said okay and met with him, and they became very good friends. And then we have the group, "But I'm of Christ." I'm sorry we didn't get through with that. We'll finish this next Sunday morning. Any questions? Okay, let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for this scripture. And Father, we do pray that you'll guide us and let us extract from these things that are pertinent to our own assembly. We want our assembly to be a witness of Christ, for the people to grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ and in the will of God and the truth of the Word. And so, Father, just pray you'll guide us in how to handle things, and we just keep, because there will be problems. There will be problems. We have sin natures, different personalities, and different momentums, different interests. And, Father, we just pray that your Spirit will guide us in all these things, that we can fulfill the objective that you've designed for us with the teaching of the Word of God, our young people, our missions, our outreach, our witness of Christ. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.